Football Saturday continues with WSBT Game Day. Here's your host, Evan Sharpley.
Welcome to the Game Day Show and good morning on your home for Notre Dame Football, 96.1 FM, 960 AM, WSBT. We are live from the Mishawaka WSBT studios. What a beautiful drive-in this morning we had. Some hot coffee and some icy rain.
Where was that white Christmas? I think it was should have been today, right?
It's just after 8 o'clock right now, and we're getting you ready for the 4 p.m. kickoff. The undefeated 13-0 Clemson Tigers versus the 12-0 Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Number 2 versus number 3 in the first game of the semifinals of the college football playoffs. Following that, you have Alabama taking on Oklahoma. I'm joined here in studio right now by my co-host and producer, Tim Growl. Tim,
good morning. I couldn't sleep last night. I was excited. You know what? My phone was going off. I think I got a text at 6 o'clock this morning, which is 5 in Dallas. So we're going to have some guests.
Saying what?
We're going to have some guests. I'm not even going to tell you what they're saying. We're going to have some guests on later on that were nice enough to get up at 7 some this morning after partying last night.
So you're saying they didn't even go to sleep?
I don't think they probably did. So Dr. Radigan went to sleep. So
I'm sure he did.
He did. He's a responsible down there. But how was your Christmas?
It was great. Yeah, nice and relaxed. Mm-hmm. I feel refreshed. Now it's...
look refreshed. You got a little hair there, which I don't have sticking out there.
Yeah. How about you? You have a good one?
Yeah, I had two. But really, honestly, it's a little talk, you know, now let's get it on the field and let's do it, right? It seems like this has been lasting forever.
Yeah, it has. It's been 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah.
We're so used in season, you know, playing every week and having, you know, the 6-day or 7-day layover between our shows, but then also the talk in between games. That's what's always unique about the college football playoff and even dating back then to, you know, BCS land, when you're talking about a New Year's 6, either on New Year's Day or even pushing it to like, January 7th. There's a long layoff, so you have a lot to talk about. What the NCAA has done, which is nice for, I think, pure college sports fans, is there are 40 different bowls this year to watch.
Unbelievable.
Is there...
And there's three today before the game.
Is there the Tim Growl State Farm Agent Bowl, too?
You know, we should have that. I should set that up. Yeah, we had that on in my office and stuff. Let me ask you real quick, and we'll get into these X's and O's, but I was watching that Syracuse game yesterday. Is not sometime when you have this layover a bad thing? Because Syracuse looked like they tried to come up with new things in the first half yesterday, and they were stymied. Second half, they went back to how they played during the season, and they took the game over.
Yeah, Tim, I personally played in four bowl games. It was in the Fiesta, the Sugar, three, and then the Hawaii Bowl. I liked playing each week. You get into a little bit of a rhythm. Mm-hmm. I did not like the time off.
Right.
I thought that you know, for timing and chemistry, you lose a little bit of the game edge.
Sure.
You know, there's two different speeds. You've got practice speed, you've got game speed. So certainly that can be a little bit different on game day. So for us, and that's something that Brian Kelly has tried to address. I know that during this time off, they've done a little more of one versus one, the one offense versus the one defense, to try to replicate some of that speed. Normally you're just doing scout O versus the first team defense, or scout offense versus scout defense versus the number one offense.
Right.
So, you know, I think that there's, you have to be creative on how to replicate that speed. It's still very difficult to replicate that, but you know, once you get into the game, you start to acclimate to that. But you can see pretty early on what teams were practicing at maybe a little bit of a higher level compared to the other team.
Well, what they were doing too is what I thought is that looked like they overcoached. Like they went into this and they said, oh, we're going to come out and we're going to do these surprising things. Mm-hmm. And they tried to do all these trick plays and everything, and they just bottomed out.
I think at this point, you know, your identity is kind of, you know, already
set,
etched,
right?
Yeah.
You don't want to change that now.
And I think, too, I mean, you know, sometimes that can be overplayed. You know, you have a month off. What are you going to change? What are you going to update? Yeah, you've got film. You got an entire, you know, season's film on the opposition. So for Notre Dame, you know, they have a lot of film on Clemson. They had already watched a lot of film on Clemson because they had played some ACC opponents that Clemson had played. And vice versa, you know, you have a lot of film for Clemson to watch on Notre Dame. But, I mean, if you look at the stats, you look at the tendencies, there's a reason why these two teams are undefeated. And then they are where they are. what would be the sense in changing that at this point? So, you know, if you look at the identity of Notre Dame, you look at their defense, they've done a great job in really bending but not breaking, creating some turnovers in key situations and getting off the field. And then offensively, you know, it's been a mix and match of run and pass, a quarterback who's been very efficient over the course of the season once he was named starter, and spreading the wealth around. And we've seen this offensive line grow. And really, it's been a very similar story for Clemson as well.
Right?
You know, they have a lot, their tendencies are very similar to what Notre Dame does. They've given up some yards this year. They've had a couple of wins where they've given up over 400, close to 500 yards passing, but still won by a couple of touchdowns. So Brent Venables, the defensive coordinator for Clemson, does a really good job of buckling down when they need to, similar to what Clark Lee has done with Notre Dame. And then offensively, Clemson has a very talented freshman quarterback. I'm at the point now, I don't think you call him a freshman. He's played in over 10 games.
Right.
He's been a starter most of the year, and he doesn't look to get rattled very much. And that, you know, Travis Etienne, the running back, he's a dangerous guy. He's someone that worries me right now.
Averaging over 8 yards.
And he's really tough. You know, he's a guy, a lot of teams have had a difficult time bottling him up. He breaks a lot of tackles.
He gets most of his yardage after the hit, right?
Yes. And I don't know if there's been a running back that Notre Dame has played this year of his caliber. You know, you'd say Bryce Love. He had a down year, and so did Stanford as a whole. But this guy is very dynamic as a running back. So, you know, Notre Dame's, both teams are going to have to bring it.
Right.
I mean, there's a reason why both teams are undefeated. Both teams ran the table in the regular season, Clemson then winning the ACC championship game. There's a reason why they are where they are. So I'm hoping and expecting that both teams play at a very high level, because I think it's going to be good football.
It's going to be an interesting chess match between Venerable and Long.
Yeah. Well, I mean, really, both sides. I mean, I think that this game is going to come down to who's able to make in-game adjustments the quickest.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you can wait till halftime.
I think
Notre Dame's coaching staff has done a really good job all season in going in at halftime and saying, you know, all right, where are some areas where we need to tweak some things? And then coming out, I mean, you look at what Notre Dame has done in most third and fourth quarters has been very impressive, both from a physical standpoint and not, you know, and their conditioning has been top-notch, but also, you know, some X's and O's and making some adjustments on that side of thing I think has been very impressive. But in a game like this, I mean, you're going to have to make in-game adjustments from possession to possession, you know, during the quarter change, and then obviously having halftime too. But, you know, the coaches are going to earn their paychecks today,
right,
and then relaying that information from the player to the players so that they can go out there and execute as well.
We're going to debate later on, and I think we'll ask all of our guests today about what do you do if you win the toss today, because I think that's going to be interesting. We want to tell everybody that if you're interested in getting out, and the Notre Dame official watch party for WSBT is at Traditions Restaurants and Bar in the Embassy Suites Hotel at the Hilton, located at 80th Street Commons. It's the WSBT's official watch party. Starts at 11 a.m., game's at 4 o'clock. There's going to be drink specials. We'll give you more details as we get into the show. We're going to take our first break a little early because we got one guest that's ready to go all the way from Dallas already, so we'll be right back with Dr. Brian Rattigan.
May I have your attention, please? This is Tim McCarthy for the Indiana State Police. You're listening to WSBT, your radio home for Notre Dame football.
Welcome back to the Game Day Show. I'm your host, Evan Sharpley, and you're home for Notre Dame football, 96.1 FM, 960 AM, WSBT. We are previewing the Notre Dame versus Clemson game. Kickoff is at 4 p.m. this afternoon in the first semifinal game. Notre Dame is now only a 12-point underdog instead of a 12.5-point underdog.
I saw that. They said all this people are rushing to put bets on Notre Dame, so I was thinking it was going to drop below 10, and it what to drop a half a point?
Half a point.
Half a point.
The total points at 57 right now.
Oh, geez. You know what? Real quick, I like where we're at. I think one expert on this, ESPN out of 15, picked Notre Dame. We're a double-digit underdog. That's where I like to be.
Because there's nothing to lose, or what?
Nobody expects us. Nobody expects us to do anything. So, you know what? Let's surprise the world. Sounds good to me.
I think it would be, I mean, and how this team has been built all year, too, has been breaking expectations of what people thought. So,
right.
I like to be in the underdog.
All right. Let's find out from our next guest, who unprofessionally I've been calling Brian Rattigan, but now since he's my doctor and just fixed my shoulder. And Doc, I don't have any sling on. It's doing great.
Good?
Yeah, rehab and everything. We got the chief orthopedic physician for the Notre Dame football team and a former Notre Dame player and a former Indianapolis Colts, Dr. Brian Radigan. Good morning.
Good morning, Tim. Hey, Evan.
Brian, how are you? First off, congratulations. I know Connor just, he's a preferred walk-on at Notre Dame. How was that for you guys and for your family?
It's been a lot of fun. He's really enjoying it. I'm excited. It's going to change the next 4 years for me. Just, you know, obviously I've always liked watching him. But when the coaches start yelling, and they start yelling at your son, I think I might actually enjoy it.
You're probably going to start yelling a little bit too, huh?
Yeah, well, I won't have to this time, but somebody else can do it. No, it'll be great. We're really excited. He's excited, which is what makes it fun as a parent.
Well, that's great. Well, Brian, kind of set the tone for us and paint a picture of how things have gone this week. You know, we're finally here. It feels like it's been a while. There's been a little downtime. What's preparation been like for this team?
Actually, I think it's been great. I think toward the end of the year, when you go undefeated, it's almost like you're limping to the finish line, just like with everything building up. And that's over. Right? Once that finished at USC and the game was over, it's almost like a big relief as opposed to just dominating. And now it's kind of recharged. Everybody looks great. They feel better. They're all healed. And they're coming in. I think it's been a really, really good last couple weeks.
As far as injuries and health, everything check out pretty good?
Yeah. Yeah, we're doing great. We've had a couple dislocated fingers this week, and that's it. But not in your quarterback or receiver, so who cares?
Hey, Brian, how important was it, do you think, that the team got down there so early? Because, I mean, that's an awesome place. I mean, just walking into that thing, being overwhelmed. Like, I think of the scene at the Hoosiers when they walk into the big Butler Stadium and he goes and measures the basket. But in any case, getting down there early, quite important?
Yeah, you know, I think it's been good. This Cotton Bowl has been amazing. I've seen a lot of bowl games, and I got to tell you, the staff here, Rich Baker and those guys, they've done an absolutely fantastic job here. They're whining and dining everybody, but they're getting everything done efficiently. And you practice at the stadium every time, which is obviously a beautiful place. So the guys, they're already warmed up. They've already seen their locker room 6 times. So all that stuff that you just, you know, the wow factor, that's gone. That's gone. They're so ready to play now. It's time.
Brian, maybe what's been the biggest thing that has stood out? I mean, you've been around this game a long time. You've been to a lot of bowl games. You mentioned the process of how things have gone. But maybe what's been the coolest thing that you would have liked to experience as a player?
Probably the hospitality room. It's unbelievable. they have so many cool things here. Truly, it's like been a real vacation. They kind of understand it's Christmas time. A lot of people are taken from their families for a little bit, but they've made it amazing. They have, you know, they have mass every day. They have the facilities here are great. It's a big place. It's exciting. I think just everything besides the practice and the usual meeting rooms, because, you know, Evan, any hotel has a conference room where you can set up 25 rooms where the guys go watch film and they meet their coaches, and that's the same anywhere. It's everything outside has been really, really cool.
As far as the fan experience, I've been paying pretty close attention to Vivid Seats, and it looks like Notre Dame Nation has traveled very, very well. What's that been like down on the street with this contingent of Notre Dame fans?
It is true. Actually, I was at a function last night with Lady Antebellum concert, right? It's just inside the hotel here, which is crazy, right? You're 2 feet away from all these people who sell out arenas. And we pretty much took that place over, which was great because the president of Clemson was there. And he was kind of outnumbered. It had to be 7-1. It was pretty great. But, yeah, they've traveled in groves for sure. They're all over the place. They're excited. Everyone's excited.
Well, it should be a great football game. You know, let's kind of turn our attention to that. And what do you feel most confident about with this Notre Dame football team and why they're going to win today?
I think, you know, I was obviously worried about their D-line like everybody else. Not that our O-line isn't good, so that their D-line's pretty special. And now that they've, I won't lie to you, I don't mind that one of them's not playing.
Mm-hmm.
The whole Osterine and performance-enhancing drug thing was an interesting thing going around, right? You always like to see that. As on my side of the world, I'm always interested to see how that goes just because of all the time and effort that goes into drug testing at Notre Dame. When I see other schools get hit with something, it's interesting. It's interesting. So I think the guys, you know, watching that distraction happen at another school, even Alabama's got some stuff going on. That's all the little side conversations are interesting. It's nice that we don't have that going on right now for us. And the guys are, I mean, physically they're ready. They can't run the plays again. They've run them a million times. They've seen every look they're going to see, every trick play they're going to see. They're prepared for everything. I think they're just done with all that. But the fact that we don't have these little side problems going on is really nice.
How does something happen like that, like Clemson is experiencing right now?
You know, I've thought about it again and again, because with something like Ostarine, it's a pretty amazing drug, to be honest with you. A little trick to the system where, unlike the usual steroids that people typically think of that have all the little side effects, you know, you get the man boobs, as they call it, right? That's just because the estrogen is released later on after. Well, with this one, it's called a SARM, and the way it has all the same benefits of the regular steroids without the downside of those side effects. So it's a very attractive performance-enhancing drug. And honestly, it was probably found and invented by accident, like they all are. And then I think some of these different protein powders and whatnot have things in them that didn't know they were a problem until later. And so I'd love to give them the benefit of the doubt and say it was in some medicine or something they thought was okay, and are finding out now that it wasn't. It was just kind of mass production causes problems sometimes. But the fact that it was Clemson and not Notre Dame, I have to say they knew it, right? Cause we want to say they cheat. Notre Dame, it would have been a total accident, right? Let's go with that. but they do have these things. And how does it happen? I don't know. Was it an accident? And it's unfortunate for all those guys now? Or was it something they knew about? You know, they had, all of us had 18 guys tested, right? And they had three show up. And we didn't have any. You can make your own decision on how you think that happens. I think it's just it's pretty interesting to me how that stuff happens year in and year out. There's always another name to another performance-enhancing drug. I think the chemists can make a lot of money out there helping these athletes and hurting them in the long run.
Well, Brian, if you have any access to that, I would love to get my hands on it for myself.
you don't need anything, partner. Come on. Yeah, come on. I'm a guy like me. I need something like that. Tim Ground, Evan Shirk.
When you start looking like us, we'll find some for you. In the meantime, it's not happening.
Tim Ground, Evan Sharpling, WST's Game Day, getting the thoughts of Dr. Brian Radigan with the team. Hey, we're going to ask everybody this, and we'll ask you, what do you think they should do if Notre Dame wins the toss? Do you put your offense on the field to take charge right away, or do you put your defense on the field?
100% of the time, I like the defense out there first. I've always liked that. You're so ready at the beginning of the game. As a defensive guy, I love being out there first. Nothing better. Go down, get your kickoff done, set the tempo. I think you set the tempo better with defense. Now, you probably ask Evan. He's probably saying put the offense out there. That's constantly the debate. So, yeah. And then I like having the ball to start the second half. I've always liked that.
Right. Right. How about, I wanted to ask this, and I don't want to get into too much technical stuff, but I've always wanted to ask this. Medical facilities, when you go to all these different stadiums and stuff, it's got to be quite different everywhere. Is it like state-of-the-art at the Cotton Bowl?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think Jerry Jones spares no expense, as everyone knows, right? So for here, we'll have an iPad on the sideline. So typically what Notre Dame does, we have a replay sent to our phones immediately. We always have someone up in the booth, and we're quick to get a replay of any injury or video of something that we're concerned about. It's sent to our phones immediately by our staff. Well, we'll still have that here, but some stadiums don't have the right reception. So you can't do that. But here, they'll have an iPad. So we'll still have it on our phone from our staff, but it'll probably be just as quick or even quicker to have it right on the iPad immediately. So instead of the Peyton Mannings going over and looking at their iPad and reviewing the plays, we'll be doing it on the medical staff if we see something we're worried about. So if you see me run over there, I'm not reviewing any offensive or defensive plays.
You're not giving some tips in there about what play you think they should run?
Yeah, exactly. I've been told. I've been given my instructions not to talk.
Where are you actually at on the side?
The facilities are great. I pace up and down. I move all the time. I do. I just like to have a better angle. I try to stay away from Coach Kelly so I don't get on TV. he's always on TV. Stay away from him.
Him and I feel like David Grimes is always finding the TV too.
Now he might be doing it on purpose. I don't know about that. Actually, he's helping keep the sideline clear. You see those guys all the time that keep people off the field. Grimes is working hard on game day, keeping people off the field to just lose track.
It was worse when
Harry Heastand was around. Oh yeah, Harry was always out on the field.
How long have you been with the team? Have you been there the whole time Brian's been there?
Down here this week.
No, I mean for your career there at Notre Dame.
Oh, yeah. So when he came, he named me the head orthopedic guy. I was here a couple of years before that, helping out with the team. So, yeah, 2008, I've been working with the team. He came in 2010. So, yeah, we've been kind of partnered up the whole time, if you want to look at it that way.
So just a doctor in general, you like his demeanor now better than when he looked like he was going to blow a blood vessel all the time.
Yeah, you know, I stay away from that as well. As a coach, I got to tell you, 18 to 22-year-olds, I don't know how you keep it together all the time. But yeah. So I can see how you lose the gas. That's his personality. I mean, he's a fiery Irishman. It is what it is. I mean, you don't get to be coach of the year in every poll, it seems like, without being good. But you're going to lose your temper once in a while. Yeah.
Sure. I think,
Evan, how frustrating is it when you have the perfect play called and you know it's a touchdown, and all of a sudden there's one blown assignment and you have a 3-yard loss? You're just like, yeah. In your mind, you know, you see the defense come out, you see the they're in exactly what you want them to be in. This is going to be a touchdown, and you have a 3-yard loss. I think that was, I'd lose my mind.
So I understand why coaches yell in those situations.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's where I think it comes from. But again, that's not my world.
Well, how about a prediction? How you think you see the game's going to go?
I don't think it's going to be a 12-point loss, that's for sure. I think we're going to win.
High scoring?
No, I think it'll be right in the middle somewhere. I think we'll be, most teams, we're used to being in the 30s now, right? It's kind of been nice, but I think it'll probably be low 30s, mid to high 20s for both teams. It's going to be close. They can score, we can score. I'd love to see our defense get a few turnovers today, which changes the whole tempo when you have the turnovers. So I'd say we're going to be in the low 30s. They'll be in the mid-20s somewhere.
This Clemson offense is pretty special. Notre Dame's defense has been very good all year. What do you think Clark Lee is going to kind of dial up to potentially put some pressure on a true freshman quarterback?
Honestly, we all think that. Like, I read the papers just like you do, and I think that pressure would be great on a freshman, but this kid doesn't get rattled too much. So it's been nice. We've had Djurkovic out there all bowl, being him, right? So we got a pretty great scout team quarterback right now that we got throwing things at us. I think these guys are ready. He's got pressure. He's got a mix of everything, but I love Clark and his game day management. I mean, he may have 10 blitzes put in for a week, and we may not even see one of them because the way the flow of the game's going, that's not what's going to work. So I have a 100% confidence in him. He's been pretty amazing, and what I think he good clearly doesn't matter to these guys. He does a great in-game change and management. I love watching him coach, and the players absolutely love him. I mean, they have 100% confidence. He's really good. He's calm, but he's really sharp. You can just tell he's got this confidence about him when he walks around without an in-your-face style. They're ready, and they know whatever he calls, they're gonna be in good shape. Well, so I'd love to see blitzes, because you know how that is. We always like to go see someone get blown up. But that's just the fun part of the game. But I don't know. I hope that's what we can do, and it works.
Well, we'll find out at 4 p.m. this afternoon. Brian, we appreciate you taking some time. We'll let you get back to the hospitality room. Hopefully there's a ping pong table there.
There's a lot of that.
And feel free after the win to text me, Brian. Go ahead. I'd like to hear from you down there. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it. I will.
Yeah. You bet, guys. Have a great day.
Thank you.
We'll be right back on your home for Notre Dame football, 96.1 FM, 960 AM, WSBT.
This is former tight end Robin Weber. My job was to catch footballs. Yours is to catch every Notre Dame game right here on your home for Fighting Irish football, WSBT.
Welcome back to the Game Day Show. I'm your host, Evan Sharpley, on your home for Notre Dame football, 96.1 FM, 960 AM, WSBT. Notre Dame is playing Clemson this afternoon.
They are here. And followed by the secondary game, right?
The secondary game, Alabama versus Oklahoma. The Heisman Trophy winner is playing in that game.
Yeah.
I'm here with Tim Grau. We're about to do something pretty interesting here, Tim.
I'm anxious for this in a couple for a couple different reasons.
Well, why don't you explain what we have going on here?
All right. Well, we're going to talk to former Notre Dame wide receiver Bobby Brown, who's in Dallas with very little sleep. I'm not even sure he slept at all. With a former player from Clemson, a former defensive end. They both, if I believe we got this right, they both played together, I think, at the Cleveland Browns, and you guys can correct me at that. And that's Raheem Abdullah, and he's in Atlanta. And they are going to, with us emceeing or mitigating things, are going to debate. Yeah, they're going to debate which team is going to win today, each other alma mater. So, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning. Yes, you had it correct. We played together at the Cleveland Browns and been good friends, but we disagree on a few things about this weekend, about today.
Well, before we get to that, though, how about the Browns?
How about them?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, how about?
Let's bring you guys together first.
Bobby thought you were talking about him, so.
Yeah, no. Exactly. How about my family, right? No. Raheem, during the NFL broadcast boot camp, said that the Cleveland Browns would be the surprise team of the season. And so, Raheem, much credit to you, because they are doing exactly what you said they would do while we were doing our broadcast training.
So Cleveland should be calling him right now and signing him up to for an announcer.
At least something, yes. He and I've got footage of it. He called it. Well before the season, he called it. So, got to give him credit. He was right.
All right, well, back on topic. We've got a pretty big football game tonight, right, okay? And, Bobby, you said that you guys disagree on a couple of things. So we'll let you start things off, and we want to hear why Notre Dame is going to beat Clemson this afternoon.
It's like this. Whenever you take a deep breath and start with, it's like this, you're serious. Notre Dame is being completely disrespected. And at some point, you draw the line in your football life and say, enough is enough. I will not be disrespected anymore. And this is the day that that happens. Notre Dame wins because they have to shut up the naysayers. They've got a great defense. And they're going to make sure that the underdog phenomenon of feeling like us versus the world is something that motivates them. We're still Notre Dame. Brian Kelly's got a lot to prove. This is more a game about psychology, and so I think Notre Dame wins because of that reason.
Raheem, for Clemson.
Yes. Well, first of all, I would like to start off by saying it's not Clemson, it's the university. You don't have to say that. When you say the university, everyone knows who you're talking about. Secondly, for my friend Bobby Brown, you guys got a great defense. We got a greater defense. But the thing is going to boil down to our offense. Our quarterback right now is playing outstanding. For Clemson, if we lose, it would be a letdown. And that is the – I don't know if you guys remember the Clemsoning. We're done with that. We've stopped that years ago. Right now, I don't think, and I personally believe this, not just him because it's my team, but I don't think Clemson, Notre Dame should even be in the playoffs.
Ooh, the gauntlet is thrown.
Oh, yeah. I don't think they should have been in the playoffs. I think that if Clemson wins, it's a lose-lose situation for Clemson. If Clemson wins, people say, oh, well, Notre Dame shouldn't have been in this. If Clemson loses, oh, Clemson let Notre Dame beat him, a team that shouldn't even been in the playoffs. Then, once we go on and win a national championship, people say, well, Clemson had a bye because they really didn't play anybody in Notre Dame. I'm thinking we'll beat them by 20 points today. At least 20.
Let me interject here real quick here. You're listening to WSBT's Game Day as we debate today's game with former University of Notre Dame wide receiver Bobby Brown and former University of Clemson defensive end Raheem Abdul. Bobby, respond.
University.
Look, first of all, whatever this D University thing is, that's going to be the university that gets whooped today. So I'll grant you the respect of calling you the university, but understand that there is no respect when you go between those lines.
And so while my esteemed colleague and former teammate, Mr. Raheem Abdullah, has pointed out that there are a lot of people who think that we should not be in the college football playoffs, we being Notre Dame. It doesn't matter what they think. There were 12 opponents that they put in front of us, and we beat all 12 of those opponents. We not only beat 12 opponents, but four of them, I believe if I'm correct, were ranked at the time that we beat them. We can't control the fact that some of those teams weren't as good as we thought that they would be. There's no one else more deserving. Maybe if you said UCF, because that's the only other undefeated team in major college football, we absolutely deserve to be there. And so what Notre Dame is going to do is they're going to get off the plane, what they've already done, because they're here, they're ready for the game, but they're going to get off the bus today, ready for that football game with a defense. And so the old adage that defense wins championships is something that has proven true. We're seeing it now at the NFL level. While all the cute offenses scored points throughout the season, the defense has now stepped up. We have a defense at every level. Our front seven is amazing. Each level. Our defensive line is one that is stout, that can defend the run and rush the passer. Our linebackers are both smart and fast. That's what I like to call that tandem, that terrible tandem of Drew Tranquil and Tavon Cody, smart and fast. And then our defensive backfield, you've got to really search to find a weak spot because the safeties are amazing in both the run and pass defense. And look, we've got what should have been the Thorpe Ward winner and Julian Love. And Troy Pride has been playing well as well. So that's why we win today. We bring a defense out. And while Clemson has been scoring points all over the place in college football, they haven't played a defense as well-balanced and as star-studded as the Irish. And that's going to be the difference against a freshman. He's still a freshman quarterback.
So, Raheem, my question for you first off is, if Notre Dame shouldn't have been the fourth team, and who would have been your vote for that fourth team? And then real quick, just from both of you guys, just your overall thoughts on whether or not this college football playoff should look at expanding, say, to eight teams.
No, I don't think they should expand it, but I think for your first question, Ohio State should have been there. Should have been in there. I wouldn't say Central Florida because of their schedule, but you can argue Notre Dame's schedule also. I would not expand it to four because of I would not expand it to eight because I think four is better. But for to Bobby's point about our freshman who threw for 2,600 yards and 24 touchdowns with only four interceptions, I think he's been playing lights out. And I'm not even speaking on our defense, who have four top 10 defensive linemen who can go in the top 10 in the first round in the NFL. Not going to speak on those guys either. I'm not going to speak on those. Wide receivers also, you know, T. Higgins and Justin Ross and the Alabama killer, Hunter Renfro. I'm not going to speak on those guys either. I'm going to go to our coach, Dabo Swinney. He's been there before. He's not a rookie or a freshman. This is the culture that he has brought to Clemson. He expects to win now. There's no more, I think right now Notre Dame is thinking we could win. Clemson is thinking we're going to win. When we win, when we play for the national championship, we'll be playing either Alabama or Oklahoma. You know, I don't think a lot of people don't want to see that Clemson-Alabama national championship game because they're getting tired of the two best teams in the nation going at it every year. But, hey, it is what it is. But for Bobby's point, my esteemed colleague, I understand why he wants Notre Dame to be in it. It's his alumni. If Clemson wasn't there, I would want them in also. But the fact of the matter is, he's playing against the number two team in the nation. And my point, we should be number one, but I might be a little bit biased. He's going to go against one of the best defensive line in the history of college football. Oh, gosh.
But, you know, I digress.
How big a factor do you think it is losing Dexter Lawrence in this game? Big factor or not? Maybe a little overplayed.
He didn't want you to bring that up, man. Why'd y'all bring that up?
Well, we talked about it earlier. Are either of you guys taking Osterin right now or no?
No, I don't. I've never been one of those guys who takes anything because my tolerance for everything is so low. But to what I understand, the amount or the trace was so minute in his system that it just shows you that it has to be a change in college football. The NCAA can't be the end all to be all. They're like God when it comes down to deciding the kid's future. They really need to do something about that because, as Dabo was saying in his press conference, the kid, when he found out the guy failed the test, he was totally shocked because he know all three of those guys, not even Dexter Lawrence. Dexter Lawrence is making the headlines because he's the biggest name of the three. But he knows what type of kid he is and his character.
Look, man, I don't know what type of character he is, but he needs to be a character that stays off that sauce. No, I have never taken anything like that. I am someone who... Hey, come on, Evan. Have you seen my body, baby? I don't need no help. You know what I mean? I know I'm a little older now, but I'll still flex these muscles on you. No, I have not taken any of the things that are on the banned substance list. I do agree with Raheem that the NCAA needs to have a more realistic and pragmatic approach to how they deal with these things because there's so many ingredients and things that we take put us a little bit beyond the line, and NFL has struggled with that as well. So the NCAA needs to take another look at how they approach that. But that's a huge loss for Clemson. Are you kidding me? He was the anchor of that defense, of that vaunted defensive line that Raheem is talking about, that he did not acknowledge is going to be missing the key piece. Yes, that's a huge loss for them. And more important, it is a huge distraction. You've got impressionable young men from the ages of 18 to 22 or whatever the case might be that any sort of distraction, normally it comes in the way of some technological gadget, but in this case, it's in the way of a teammate, well, three teammates, but one being a very integral part of what you wanted to do defensively. A teammate failing a drug test, it is a distraction. And so what's going to happen is, and I noticed when you said that Ohio State deserved to be there versus Notre Dame, you didn't call them the Ohio State. but I won't point that out, Mr. The University of Clemson, the University, whatever you Clemson Tigers are calling yourselves these days. Ohio State didn't deserve to be there because they went out against Purdue and got whooped. And so what you do on every Saturday should matter. And the people who are trying to articulate why Notre Dame shouldn't be there try to say because they didn't play a conference championship. Well,
they're not in the conference.
Abdullah, Mr. Raheem Abdullah, you guys didn't either. That Pittsburgh team, every conference championship is not created equal. And so Notre Dame deserves to be there. And while I think Dabo Swinney is definitely Mount Everest in terms of opponents and coaches to coach against, Brian Kelly has been hearing the murmurs, and today's the day where the bully gets punched in the nose. And when you get punched in your nose, right in your nose, and you start to cry and tears start to come down, then we see who you are as a team. And your freshman is going to get punched in the nose today because he's going to get hit hard, often. And Notre Dame's defense, disruptive as it be, is going to then put that offense out on the field. And we've got game breakers. We've got a lot more speed than we've had in a long time. Okay. This ain't 2012. Y'all ain't that Alabama team. This is going to be a good game. Notre Dame comes out on top, 31-27.
Okay, guys, hold on here a second. Tim Ground, Evan Sharpley with Bobby Brown for the Irish in Dallas, Raheem Abdul in Atlanta for the Tigers. I'm going to change it up. Bobby, you have to tell me how Clemson can win, and Raheem, you got to tell me how Notre Dame can win. Either one can start. We got 30 seconds for each of you.
Clemson can win if we decide to stay in the hotel today. That's the only way Clemson's going to win. We sick of it. I'm telling you, the whole world said we shouldn't be there. They're disrespecting what Notre Dame is as a program, what Notre Dame is as a team this year. We punching Clemson in the face this year. Clemson, you ain't got no chance today. I said it, and that I'm standing behind it. The only way Clemson wins is if somehow the bus punctures a tire and Notre Dame don't make it to the stadium. That's my belief.
Counter offer.
Well, it's real simple for me. It's called divine intervention. All the Catholics around the world are going to have to get together and start praying and pray to the divine that somehow, some way, that this Notre Dame team can beat the University of Clemson, which I don't think is going to happen. And to you guys, 32nd ranked defense, Travis Aikens is licking his chops and waiting for you guys. So divine intervention is the only way these guys are going to win today. God himself is going to have to come down and tell Clemson, go ahead, guys, let him go.
According to a lot of Notre Dame fans, he will be there.
Well, the good news is I got a tailgate, so God can come on and pull up to my tailgate, God, because if that's what it takes, that's what we're going to get today. We're going to win today. We're going to California.
Actually, I think God already made an appearance and helped you get up this morning, Bobby.
Yes, he did. That God and about four different alarms. The phone, I had the wake-up call, I had the alarm clock. I had to make sure that I woke up, man, because it was important to be here. I had to let these Clemson Tigers know that Notre Dame is in the building. Excuse the fact that I don't have a voice, but it's all good. We still going to go out there and fight us some Clemson Tigers. We're about to take them Tiger claws out. That's what we're doing.
Hey, well done today, guys. I appreciate you taking
great
some time.
Job.
We'll make
no
sure
problem.
To connect with you later this afternoon as the game unfolds. I'm sure that your guys' conversations are going to be quite lively throughout the entire matchup, but appreciate it. Enjoy the game this afternoon.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Raheem. Go Irish.
All right, buddy. Yeah, go Tigers.
The Tigers.
The Tigers. And we'll be right back on your home for Notre Dame football, 96.1 FM, 960 AM, WSBT. Back to the Game Day Show on your home for Notre Dame football, 96.1 FM, 960 AM, WSBT. I'm Evan Sharpley, along with Tim Growl, and we just had a great little debate there from Bobby Brown, former Notre Dame receiver, and Raheem Abdullah, former.
I love live radio.
University.
That's
of
right.
Clemson Tiger, getting us ready. I mean, it's early. But
talking some smack, right?
Those two guys are ready to go. It's like they never stop playing.
No. That was great.
We just
heard the Notre Dame fight song. I hope we hear that a lot today down in the Cotton Bowl and stuff. So, you know what? And we never did get to find out about the win of the toss. So I'll ask you, win the toss, Notre Dame wins. What would you do?
Take the ball. Dr. Radigan was correct. But I can see it either way. I mean, I think that, you know, Notre Dame's going to have one of my keys to the game is starting fast. And that can be either getting a stop when you're on defense, putting your defense out there. They've been great all year, or going out there. For me as a quarterback, you know, if I'm Ian Book, I'd like to take the ball so I can go out there and go 8 for 8 in my first drive and develop some rhythm. That'd be important for me. But I could see it going either way. You have an opportunity to make a statement whether your offense is out there or you send your defense, who's been great all year too. So
just keep going. That sounds like a key right there.
It is. It's getting off to a fast start. You know, whatever they decide, That's number one for me, but setting that tempo and tone early. Number two has to do with controlling the line of scrimmage. I think we're going to learn a lot about how this game plays out based on how Notre Dame's offensive line is able to control this very talented front four from Clemson. They don't need to necessarily dominate, but it's got to be a wash at least. And then finally, the turnover margin I think will come into play. Is Notre Dame's defense, are they able to create some turnovers, get some pressure on this quarterback, and then make sure that they're protecting the football on the opposite side. So if Notre Dame does that, I think they win. I think it's going to be close, though. I've got 35-31.
35-31. We'll take it. Don't go anywhere as the Cotton Bowl coverage continues. Right after the news, it's everything you need to know about today's big game on Budweiser's Game Day Sports Beat. Then about 11:40 a.m., it's Notre Dame men's basketball. After the game, Sports Beam will be back on the air, followed by the Notre Dame tailgate and pregame show. Then it's kickoff just after 4 p.m. with a broadcast team of Paul Burmeister, Ryan Harris and Jack Nolan. And after the game, join Sean Sires and Reggie Brooks for the official post-game show. This isn't goodbye, but we'll see you later. We plan on being back in the air on January 7th for the national championship game. If anybody wants to send Evan and I to Santa Clara, we're open for bids. But right now, stand by for more right here on your home for Fighting Irish Football, 96.1 WSBT. For Evan Sharpley, this is Tim Growl. Go Irish!